church. You understand?
Yeah, it's church. It doesn't mean when you come, you must make your face like it's been dipped in vinegar and lemon. There must be joy and happiness in the church, isn't it? Amen. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. I want you to put your hand on your heart. And those of you watching, pray for yourself. Put your hand on your heart. Just pray for yourself and just thank God for this evening. Let's thank him for the opportunity to even be in church to hear his word. It's a marvelous thing. It's a good thing. Many seek this opportunity but do not have it. But we are so privileged. God has been so good to us that we can have this privilege. Father, we say thank you. Speak to us tonight. Teach us. Help us. We pray. Just ask God to speak to you. I believe that God has a message for every one of us. Just pray that whatever God has for you this evening, you will receive in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's continue on what we've been talking about. We've been talking about fight for these things, isn't it? Fight for these things. Turn to your neighbor and say, fight for these things. Amen. Let me remind you again, I see. I believe that the amount of fight, the strength of that you put in your fight is directly proportional to what you believe. Do you understand? That you should fight for. If things or let me put it this way, you will never fight for something that you do not believe in, that you are not convinced that is something precious. Are you understanding? Yeah. We fight, and I'm saying that the strength and the intensity of the fight that you put up is directly proportional to the belief that you have in the thing. Do you see? So when we say fight for these things, if they don't mean anything to you, you will not fight for them. But when they begin to mean something to you, you see that you fight. You think about it, like I've been challenging you to, that the things that you fight for in life are things that you value. Do you see? So there has to be a certain upgrading of our thinking, the way you think about things. You have to begin to think like God thinks, have the thoughts of God, and have the value system of God. The things that God values, you must also begin to value. And the only way is through the word of God. Amen. If you don't read the word of God, you don't study the word of God, you will never know what God or what God thinks about a particular thing. You see? And then your value system will be very different from the way God, you know, values things. Amen. So fight for these things. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Can I have it here, please? All right. So it says, fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. You see, when you are fighting, it must be a fight that is worthwhile. Do you understand? Don't fight useless fights. A lot of times you get involved in useless fights. Fights that do not take us anywhere or lead to any, you know, production. Very useless, unproductive fight. We must fight good fight. A good fight. Amen. And then it says a fight of faith. Do you see? Everything that you fight for, that you must fight for, must be things that are related to our faith. Amen. Our faith in God. Our faith in what God says. Our faith in what how God values things. Amen. Let me show you another one. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. And then we'll move on. So he says, I have fought a good fight. This is apostle speak, isn't it? As he wrote to Timothy. He said, I have fought a good fight. Wow. I have fought a good fight. This is like the end of his life, his ministry. As he approached, he said, I have fought a good fight. So this gives us an indication that his life was full of fights. Yeah. And now they say, I fought a good fight. Hey, may it be that when you are towards the end of your life, you can look back and say, I have fought a good fight. And not a bad fight. Amen. Not a bad fight, but a good fight. Hallelujah. So ladies and gentlemen, don't be tired fighting. Yeah, there are more fights ahead. It's true. You see, you may be sitting here, you are not married. You see, there's a whole realm of fights that is waiting for you. Or you are married and you have children, two or three children, and the children are 4 or 5 years old. You see, there's another arena of fight that also awaits you when they are 10, they are 12, they are 15, they are 16. It's a totally different ball. It's full of fight. Amen. Recently, my son was texting me and he sent me a text. He said, he was telling me or asking me a question to the effect that, why is that the devil can never leave people alone? That's how he is. He will fight us to the end. Yeah. So I pointed out the scripture that talked about the temptation of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the devil left him. But he didn't end. I said he left him for an opportune time. Yeah. He will never leave you. So if you think that the devil will leave you alone, it's not going to happen. So long as you are alive, and so long as you are in the Lord, the devil will keep fighting you. He will keep sending things your way to oppose the direction that God wants you to. I think it's a sign of being alive. Yeah. It's a sign of being alive. Because the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Are there some righteous people here? Maybe you are not sure. If you are righteous, lift up your right hand. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are righteous. And if you are watching us, I want you to know that you are righteous. Because the Bible says that we have been made the righteousness of God, isn't it? In Christ. Amen. We have been made. When you are a Christian, you have a right standing with God. And the Bible is saying that many are your afflictions. But we should not be afraid. Amen. Because we have overcome them. Jesus said that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Amen. Your faith in God. So keep fighting. Are you understanding? Keep fighting. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Keep fighting. The devil will like you to stop fighting. Because the devil knows the end of the matter. That the end is victory. The end is victory. I said the end is victory. For you are more than a conqueror. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I said you are more than a conqueror. You see, some of us want to wear titles without the things that make you a conqueror. You see, the word conqueror means somebody who has conquered. How is it that you don't want to conquer? You have to fight and conquer. I said you have to fight and conquer. We have to fight to maintain ministry. Hey! Reverend Brian, sometimes you feel like giving up, but you have to fight and stay in and fulfill your call. We have to fight. Amen. So we are fighting. Debo, are you here? Are you understanding? You have to fight a good fight and don't give up. Nothing is going to be easy. Amen. So we're talking about fight for these things. So far we talked about a few of them. Fight to be a strong Christian, isn't it? Then we said fight to be led by the Holy Spirit and to be in the will of God. There are many things that are vying for your attention. Bible says that there are many voices. The voice of the Holy Spirit is one out of many. But you must fight. You see, when you even think about the word fight, it means that there is a natural opposition that you have to go against. Do you understand? In fact, you can't talk about a fight. You can't define a fight. You can't talk about or even talk about a fight without the word opposition. So it is the opposing force that makes you have to fight. Amen. So there are many voices in this life, but you must fight to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. In fact, sometimes the voice of the Holy Spirit, we know it. Huh? We know it. I mean, you know. Turn to your neighbor and say, you know. Yeah. You just try to avoid it. Yeah, sometimes as pastors, people will come to us and ask us questions. Eh, Reverend Brian, sometimes when they sit in front, don't you see that they know the answer? They know the answer. The answer is there because we have the same Holy Spirit. In fact, even when you're asking the question, the Holy Spirit is already saying this thing, the guy knows already. Yeah. One day I met a brother when we're in Newark, and he's still around. He's a very good brother. And he said to me that, actually, when I looked at him, I thought he was sad. He looked sad. So I said, what's wrong? Because he was sitting so quiet. He said, for the past few days, he hasn't heard from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit hasn't spoken to him about certain things. Yeah. So I looked at him and I gave him an answer. I said, listen, the reason why the Holy Spirit hasn't spoken to you is because he said everything that has to be said. But you're looking for more. Yeah. Sometimes we have the answer. You are fasting and praying. Please stop fasting. Just listen. Just listen. 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 Listen and flow. Lemanta ikile krako eshkinanga tai pelefre ili sinto kabaine ishkalangra kele sipre. So listen to the Holy Spirit. Flow in Him. Listen to Him. Let Him lead you. For as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are my children. So let Him lead you and be a child in my home. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Then don't be afraid to speak in tongues. Speak it and interpret. Do you understand? It's all faith. Yeah. Sometimes when you start, it's like, would you be able to speak it and just interpret? God will help you. Amen. There should be more of tongues and interpretation all the time. Are you understanding? Number three, we said fight to be spiritual and not carnal. Isn't it? Fight to be spiritual and not carnal. It's a fight. It's a fight to be spiritual. Because it's easy to be carnal. Very, very easy. How many of you know that it's easy to become carnal? Is it easy? Very easy, isn't it? Oh, it's very easy to eat and sleep. It's very easy to do all kinds of... what? Yeah, it's natural. I don't need encouragement. In all my pastoral ministry, I'm yet to see anybody who call me and say, Pastor, can you encourage me to sleep? Or Pastor, can you encourage me to eat? I'm yet to find one. Because these things are natural. You just eat and sleep, isn't it? Amen. So, you must fight to be spiritual and not carnal. We said also, you must fight for the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. For example, fight to walk in love. Hey! How many of you have noticed that it's a hard thing? Yeah. It's a very hard thing sometimes. Eh? Pastor Daniel, is it very easy? Yeah. In fact, if you are here and you say walking in love is very, very easy, I will question you. Amen. Yeah. You think about it. Because the Bible urges us to walk in love. Do you understand? Why will God tell us to do something? Because it's not easy. Do you see? The things that are easy to do, there's no need to remind. You see, have you seen a verse in the Bible? Breathe. Romans chapter 50, verse 1. Breathe. No, it's natural and it's easy, isn't it? But when the Bible talks about something and takes time to, you see how much the Bible talks about love. In fact, there's a whole chapter in the Bible that is devoted to just love. It's not easy, but you have to make yourself do it. Amen. Fight to enter the ministry. Fight to stay in your calling. Amen. Yeah. We must fight to stay in our calling. I realize I must fight to stay in my calling. I must fight to stay in the ministry. Because it's very easy to give up when you feel the opposition, isn't it? But we'll still fight. Amen. Is that all we did, right? So, number eight. Fight to catch the anointing. Eish. Fight to catch the anointing. You see, again, are you listening? If the anointing is not something valuable to you, you will not fight to keep it or to catch it. You won't. You see, how many of you love the anointing? The anointing is God Himself. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. Isn't it? And when it's on you, upon you, there's a difference. It makes a difference. When the Holy Spirit is upon us, everything changes. Wow. Everything changes. Your ministry will change. The way you teach will change. The way you preach will change. The way you sing will change. The way you dance will change. The way you play the instruments will change. The way you do the technical work in church will change. Everything will change. Hallelujah. You will change even as a husband. You will become an anointed husband. How many ladies here want an anointed husband? Yeah. When the Holy Spirit is upon the wife becomes an anointed wife. Eish! May you become an anointed wife. I said, may you become an anointed wife. And husbands, may you become anointed husbands. In Jesus' name. Amen. It is a fight. Yeah. And I'm telling you, until you see the value of it, until you see that this is something that I need, you will not fight for it. Amen. Yeah. I love the anointing. When I see the manifestation of an anointing, or when I see the anointing at work in lives, oh, you see that my whole self has come. Yeah. When I watch Kenneth Hagin teaching, oh man, say, this man, I must teach like him before I die. I must walk in the gifts that he walked in, in the prophetic and the teaching ministry before I must see everything that he saw. Amen. Yeah. When you see Bishop teaching, oh, is it not nice? Yeah. On Sunday, Lady Pastor went out to do a dedication with some of the pastors of just one. Was it only Daniel? Yeah. And when she came out, she said, it looks like Pastor Daniel has caught some anointing on Bishop. Yeah, that's why she told me. He said the way he talks and the way he preaches or prays, it was prayer. He said the way he said you were praying like Bishop. Wow. Have you been listening to him? A lot. Yeah, I know he's trying. Maybe he could do more, but he's trying. Why do I say this? Because recently he talked to me about a camp that he was listening to. It's one of the old camps. Do you see? And he mentioned that he heard my name. That's why he was talking to me, because it was me. But he heard my name, because that camp, I went to work and I came a little late. But when I came, I walked straight. I didn't come and sit down. I walked straight to the back where those days we had audio tapes. We didn't have CDs and stuff like that. And I went straight for the audio tapes and I was looking to find if there was one that I didn't have. So Bishop was preaching, and all of a sudden he said, look at Gilly, because he calls me Gilly. Look at Gilly, but don't call me Gilly. He says, look at Gilly sniffing tapes. Is that what he said? Yeah, and it's true. It's true. You want anointing? Hey, you must fight for it. You must get, one of the things that you must fight for is the ability to soak in tapes. Yeah, to soak in. I mean, Paul, are you understanding? Yeah, you soak it in. And then I learned this from you. When you recognize a tape that you love, because you see, amongst many, many tapes, there are one or two that you can't stop. You can't stop. You can't stop. I said you can't stop. When you put it down, you feel like taking it again. And anytime you take it, it's as though it's not something you even know. You are not bored. Yeah, those ones are God sent. And you must pay attention to them. That's the way to be anointed. Yeah. That's the way to be anointed. I want to be anointed. I believe that I'm catching some anointing. Are you understanding? And I'm not done yet. I want to catch the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. It you have to fight for it. Why? Because the natural opposition is that you don't feel like listening to tapes. For sometimes I can be that, hey, I haven't listened to tapes. You understand? Yeah. It's not like it naturally comes that you don't have anything to do, only listening to tapes. No. Yeah. Yeah. You have to fight. Are you understanding? If you remember, we talked about Elijah and Elisha. Elijah, Jah, and Elisha, Shah, isn't it? And Elisha caught the anointing from Elijah. If you are confused, always say Ja and Sha. You remember. If you are watching us, say Sha and Cha. You remember. All right. So, Elisha caught the anointing from Elijah. And he actually caught twice. But last week we went through how he learned to fight to stay with the man of God. Do you see? I remember many years ago, Bishop told us a story. It looks like I'm going back to point seven again. Fight to associate with great men of God. Now, Bishop talked about how there was a certain line he had to cross at a point. All right? And it was between he and Idahosa. How many of you know Idahosa? Bishop. He was an archbishop, isn't it? Archbishop Idahosa. Yeah. And Archbishop Idahosa had come to Ghana. And there was a big meeting, a lot of senior pastors in Accra. And as he was preaching, at the point he used Bishop for his illustration. Do you understand? He used Bishop for his illustration. So he would say, kneel down. And Bishop would kneel down. And then he roughened him up. Do you see? So you think of it this way, that why should, I mean, you are preaching. Take one of the ashes, or not that ashes are not anything. Do you understand? But it will be easier. Do you understand? If somebody comes and is preaching right now, and I'm sure Brother Kwame would be much happier if he's used for the illustration of kneel down, come here, go down, do this, raise up your hand, instead of the the resident pastor. And I'm sure Brother Kwame would do it for me easily. Despite some of the things he said to me recently, he would do it for me. He's the one who asked me, now, Pastor, you can't sleep. I see. Brother Kwegu, can you imagine? He asked me, now, Pastor, you couldn't sleep. But anyway, I've forgiven him. I'm walking in love. I'm fighting to walk in love towards him. Are you here? So, where was I? So, kneel down, get up, kneel down. So, at the end of it all, you see, Bishop had prepared a nice gift to give to him. Galatians 6:6, you know, for Bishop Idahosa. But after the service, he said, in fact, the way this man has treated me, I don't even feel like, if I remember correctly, I think he was even in tears. Because it was so humiliating. You see. But after a while, he said, look, let me just go give to him. So he gave it to him. And that day, Bishop believed that something happened. Yeah. He knelt down. Idahosa prayed for him. And that marked a certain upgrading or pushing up of his ministry. That's when the Bible school and everything took off. Because at the point, Idahosa's Bible school in Nigeria was one of the main Bible school in West Africa, in that sense. That's when Anakazu Bible School came up and certain anointings just started manifesting in Bishop's life. Amen. Are you understanding? Yeah. So it's not easy. Do you understand? You have to fight. Do you see? As I'm speaking, I'm also talking to myself and preaching to myself too. We all have to learn. You see, maybe the pastor that God has given you is the one through whom, just as Reverend, I don't know why I'm talking about Reverend Brian, but I believe that there's somebody here that you are beginning to even fight him in your heart. Yeah, there's somebody here, you are fighting him in your heart. You smile with him and when he says, you are fighting inside you. There's a certain flow which has stopped. Do you see? All these things are tests. And you see that in the earlier point, fight to associate with a great man of God. You see that at the point, even Elijah was pushing Elisha away. You understand? Literally, don't come with me, stay here. That's what it means. Don't come, I'm going. I don't have to come with you, stay here. I said, no, as the Lord liveth, I'm not staying. I'm coming with you. Do you understand? Yeah. So sometimes, even some of these things, naturally, God would allow certain friction or a little something here, a little something there, that perhaps is a test. Because anointing is a very precious thing. You see, God will not just pour it on you. You have to be of a certain substance. You understand? Yeah. Just as we will not put Coca-Cola. Do you ask your neighbor, do you know Coca-Cola? Yeah. We will not put Coca-Cola in a container that is not really what it's meant for. In a calabash. Yeah. We put in a Coca-Cola container. Do you see? Yeah. Even if we gave you real, genuine Coca-Cola in a certain cheap water bottle, clear water bottle, you see that you'll be wondering that this thing, what is it? Yeah. If you wonder this is really not, you won't like to taste it. What if it's some concoction or something that somebody is, you won't like it. You understand? God specifically pours his Holy Spirit upon a specific cleansed vessel. You see? And it's a hard thing, and we must fight. You see, so in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 to 10, turn your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. So when Elisha asked Elijah, look at the answer Elijah gave him. Because Elijah was trying to explain to him, like, hey, this thing, you're asking for twice the thing on me. Hey! He said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Hey! You have asked a very difficult thing. Getting the anointing, you have asked a very difficult thing. And I'm sure that even what made it worse was that you've asked for twice. But we all know that he got it, isn't it? Then listen, he said, nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So he said, hey, you've asked a hard thing. But if you can concentrate, if you can stay focused, if you can stay and just be with me and keep your eye on me until. You see, there's a time. There's a specific time. There's a timing. And he said, if you can focus. A lot of us, because of the fight, we can't fight. We can't fight to stay focused. We can't fight to stay awake. We can't fight to stay awake and alert. Things distract us. Amen. But he was not like that. And he stayed focused until the end. And he got it. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, fight to catch the anointing. Number 9. Fight to find a good partner for your life. I rush to get here. Because I want to end with this one tonight. I don't want this to be next week. I don't want it to be next 2 weeks. I want this to be today. That you must fight. Huh? It's a fight. Yeah. Why is it a fight? Because you see, your natural instinct would sort of aggravate. Is that a good word? All right. Gravitate. It will gravitate towards. Yeah, that's a good word. Gravitate. Aggravate is to make angry. People, you are trying to mislead me. We apologize to all our viewers. Due to technical difficulties, the English language. Wow. So gravitate. Not aggravate. Gravitate. Yeah. You see? So, what was I even saying? Yeah, it's natural for you to gravitate towards that which you like. You understand? So as he's standing in front of you, maybe his sharp nose, which matches his lips. You see, in medicine, we have what we call BMI, body mass index, right? It's a measure of your weight and your height combined to give a certain index. All right? But I don't know of any index that matches your nose and your mouth or something. I'm yet to find one. Yeah. So as the man is standing in front of you, that's all you ate. You see, that's just the natural, because I don't know, but whilst you know that everybody grows up with a fantasy. Yeah. Yeah, everybody grows up with a fantasy. Some of you sisters you've read Mills and, is it Mills and Boons? Yeah. Broad chest, square shoulders. Yeah. Beautiful eyes, blue eyes. Yeah, not contact blue eyes. I mean natural blue eyes. What? Big lips. Hey! I'm sure your husband has big lips. Yeah. Why the big lips? I don't understand. Is it so that they can be able to kiss you? Huh? Oh, pink. Hey. I thought she said big. Pink lips. Eesh. Look at a brother sitting by and say, do you have pink lips? Pink lips. Hey. That's why you have left all the brothers in Lighthouse in the U.S. and you cross the oceans to go for pink lips. Yeah. Reverend Brian, it's your church member. Yeah. So you see, as a brother is coming, you know, that's what you've been dreaming about. You've been dreaming that one day he will even come. You climb a rope with a rose in his mouth. You see, so as his brother has come and his nose is sort of flat, his shoulders are round. Huh? Pastor Daniel said like his nose. You see, you are not seeing. And even when your pastors are helping you and they are pointing, say, you are still not looking. Because you want that thing. Listen, marriage is not a simple thing. It's not a simple thing. Even when you have prayed. Mama Fossi, am I saying something wrong? Yeah, even when you have prayed. There's a phase in marriage sometimes that a lot of people go to. When you marry, after 2-3 years, did I make a mistake? Yeah. You see, because it takes about that time to be used to each other. You see, because right now it's diplomacy. Eh? Nana K and Nana B. Have you noticed that you've gone past diplomacy now? Yeah. Even when you are angry, oh, it's okay. Don't worry. It's okay. I mean, we can eat the rice with no stew. It's fine. It's fine. It's equilibrium. It's fine. We can put margarine in it. It's fine. Put a little pepper. It's not, no problem. No problem. No problem. No problem. Yeah. Yeah. Or we even eat cereal. Yeah. Meanwhile, you were born in Ghana. Since when did you start eating cereal for dinner? But the time comes, you see that diplomacy is finished. See that now you are me, I'm you. Base. That quiet. What are you saying? These things is past. We don't do these things anymore. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. So you must fight to get a good spouse. And let me tell you something. Are you listening? Are you listening? Especially the sisters. Good spouses don't even come flamboyant in a flamboyant way. Yeah. Yeah. Good husbands don't even come in a way that's so flashy. See them cool. It's like they don't even know how to talk. Yeah. But you marry us, you see that we can't talk. But you prefer the guy who is so experienced. You know, they can just floor you. You know, understand? You understand what I mean? Floor. I mean, charm. Yeah. Within 5 minutes, you are eating Chinese food with them. And then you are following them to their house. Or they are coming to your house. Those are the ones you like. Yeah. It's sad. If I sometimes I look at people and say, where did this one also get this one from? Seriously. But it's hard. If I sometimes as pastors, you wish you can say more, but you can't talk. Do you understand? You can't. If I talk, you say, I don't like you. Or I don't want your enjoyment. Or your happiness. Yeah. Let me say something to you, and any pastor can testify. I've said this many, many years, and I keep saying it, that, listen, especially you women, you are better off single. Yeah, you see, you can't believe it. You can't believe it. But you are better off single by yourself than to marry a cantankerous man. Yeah. I think you should clap. It's a good place to clap. But there are a lot of nice men in the church. You understand? There are a lot of nice members in the church. Nice brothers in the church. And sometimes it takes, what? They don't have pink lips. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. It's familiarity. See, you are seeing him and you don't think that this brother will amount to anything. But you don't know. You have no idea. You have no idea. They are all over. And in fact, sometimes I've had people call me from other, you know, branches. Do you have any brother in the church? I said, I'm also looking for husband for my daughters. Why do you mean I should give you a brother? Yeah. But you brothers, you must look, because there are brothers in the church. I'm not saying go, don't go and marry in Ghana. That's not the message. You understand? But listen, on a more serious note, it is something that we must fight for. Do you see? And those of us who are married, we must fight to keep the marriage. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. 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 You must fight. It's a fight. You understand? It's a fight to keep your marriage. You must fight. It's like one of the good fights to fight. Because what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Amen. Amen. Bishop said something very interesting. He said, most animals do not have one partner. Most animals, that's the natural trend. Most animals don't have one partner. So it's a natural trend for people to want to have one, two, or three, especially men, the male species. Yeah. See, there are some faults that are more of the woman's fault, but there are also some faults that are the men's fault. You see, you must fight. You see, don't compromise yourself. Don't put yourself in a situation that is not helpful. You understand? Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you'll be amazed at what people will throw at. Even this at my people throw things at me sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, can you come to my house and take a shower? I mean, if you tell me I should come to your house and take a shower and change in your house. What are you trying to say? I come and bath in your house and change at this age. I said, no. When I see that, I just avoid you. I don't even come near you. Because I'm fighting to keep my marriage. Yeah. Are you understanding? Yeah, shine, fight to keep your marriage. Yeah. Wow. The place is quiet. We shall continue on this point next week. Because we are not done. Bow down your heads as we end in prayer. And those of you watching, bow down your heads. Bow down your heads. Let's pray. Let's thank God for his word. Put your hand on your heart this evening. And just pray that God will help you. Some of us, we need to change our hearts. our attitude towards God's word. The value system of God needs to be our value system. Let's pray and ask God to help us to begin to see eye to eye with God. And the Bible says, how can two walk except they agree? You can't walk with God when your value systems are different from God's value system. You must value what God values. You must put a price, the right price, on the prizes that equals the prizes that God has placed on things that he values. Pray that God will help us. Pray that God will help you change and that you value things. And also pray that you begin to fight. Some of us have let ourselves go. We don't fight, but it's time to fight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Reverend Brian, call your daughter. Let's pray for her. She's traveling to Ghana. Come, let your pastor pray for you. And then we'll anoint you with oil. When are you leaving? Tomorrow.